The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. They are Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years. BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Discover Big Storm Craft Beer at BigStormBrewery.com. And if you have water or mold or any kind of disaster whatsoever, you want to call Florida's Elite Restoration, get to their website, floridaselite restoration.com.
I don't want to be a pest. I mean you, Devonta Freeman. This might sound crass. How long can the sage last? I mean, his hands are everywhere. You know, if they were wearing bathing suits, it would remind me of all those people at Lake of the Ozarks. I've been ripping them to shreds for the last 4 years. I don't think Bruce Arians has slept since Friday. This thing isn't anything to fool around with. There's some kind of a problem. You can get on a Zoom call and not imperil Donovan Smith's health. Your word's your bond in this business. I think he's a little short.
Bucks fans, it is that time again. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is back in the house. He is the king of Newport Richie, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the star of the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. It's Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks fan is here. And Ira, I'm taking a new tack today. None of this word of the day. I've got my own name of the day, and it's Donovan Smith. What the hell's going on? The situation is scary, not about the virus, but about Tom Brady's backside. We need your wisdom. We need to know what the next steps are for the Bucks. How the hell are you? What's going on?
You just displaced my word of the day over there, Isbitz. It's a bold move by you. It's a fresh approach. But you want to get right to this meat of Donovan Smith. Guys, if I had to put my money on it, and there ain't much money behind this, I'm going to bet that he's playing left tackle for the Tampa Bay Bucks in 2020. I understand what he's talking about with his concerns, but I think when push comes to shove and he sees all the rest of his teammates, led by Mr. Tom Brady, leading the charge, I think Smith's going to come in. Regrettably, I think if he doesn't show up for 2020, it's going to hurt his NFL career. That's the way I believe. Certainly, it's going to have an impact on his future with the Buccaneers. I believe he would be going into the last year of his deal in 2021, and I think he'd be in a little bit of trouble with the Bucs if they can find an adequate replacement for him. I think he will play. Look, his remarks were heartfelt in terms of his first child being born, but I think he weakened his argument a little bit by bringing up some financial issues. Financial concerns. I believe he watered down his stance a little bit. He didn't do it deliberately, but I think people are going to jump on that saying, well, this is more of a money issue than a health issue for Donovan Smith. Look, his toughness is unquestioned on the football field. I mean, he's played through a myriad number of injuries. It's not like he hasn't been hurt, but he plays. He's missed one game in 5 years, and especially at the left tackle position. That's incredible durability. Is he the best left tackle in football? Far from it. I think he's going to play, but the timing, you know, where 2 months ago he seemed absolutely gung-ho about the addition of Tom Brady and where this team could go, and that was in May, and 2 months later on the brink of training camp, we sort of got a 180. Part of it, guys, part of it could be the proliferation of COVID-19, especially in Florida, from now as opposed to May. That's part of it. But I think he's going to play when push comes to shove. I believe Smith will line up against the New Orleans Saints in week one. I don't see replacements on the current roster that Bruce Arians would be very comfortable with.
No, the options are limited. I mean, you're looking at a green as grass rookie who's never had any kind of offseason with the team. I mean, I don't call it jumping out of a pool at a camp and apartment complex working right out with your team. Or Joe Haig, this refugee they got from the Colts. Neither option is good.
And you guys, and Josh Wells. And Josh Wells.
Who?
Josh Wells.
Okay.
Well, he started in Detroit at left tackle when Smith was unavailable. He did.
I somewhat sympathize, actually a lot sympathize with Smith's predicament, but the more I think about it, it's like, okay, I understand you're, you know, a lot of people, they like to use the death rate as far as this virus.
Right.
And about the death rate, I mean, there, again, I've cited this before on your podcast, Ira. There's a Wall Street Journal story out there talking about people in their 20s and 30s, but there was this marathon runner. She can't walk up a flight of stairs, and she used to run miles every day. She can't walk up a flight of stairs because her lungs are all screwed up. And he's looking at his career. I get that. But you know what? If you're concerned about your family and your infant daughter that's about to be born, if you're really concerned about that, get a freaking apartment and live in that apartment by yourself. If it's that much of a concern, he's making a lot of money, and he's trying to come across like, well, family's more important than money. I get that. But that money will give your daughter one hell of a life. And if you quarantine yourself, you stay in an apartment for the whole season, to me, that's not a hell of a lot of sacrifice for your daughter. If it really is all about your daughter, and I'm sure it is about his daughter and his family, then you will quarantine yourself in an apartment.
Lee, you're also talking about being separated from your new child for 3 or 4 months, and that might be easy for you and I to say, but you got to put yourself in Smith's position. Steve, here's another thing about
real
this.
Real quick,
yeah.
If it's about his daughter, is her health more important than you seeing her in person? I mean, you can Zoom talk to her, you can FaceTime with her. If it's really about your family, if that's your only concern, you can buy a condo and quarantine yourself, and you can sell it or rent it out afterwards. It could be an investment, and you'll have the rest of your life to spend with your daughter. If it's about your daughter, if. And like I said, I'm not saying it's not, and I sympathize with Donovan a lot, actually, more than most people, because you know he's a lot more susceptible to catching this than a defensive back or a running back. So I get it. I fully get it. But if you're really concerned, if it is strictly about your daughter's health, you yourself can take care of that.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I'm not a father. I'll never have children, so I guess I fully won't understand that. But to me, it's simple. It's like if that's your concern, I mean, any other time, if your daughter got sick and they say, okay, you need to do X, you need to stay away from her for so long, whatever the hell that is, you do it.
Don't cut yourself short, DeKemper. The word on the street is your boys can swim. Don't cut yourself short in terms of fatherhood. But, Steve.
Oh, okay. It took me a while to figure that out. Okay.
Yeah, Steve, in purely football terms, and this might sound crass because we're talking about, you know, health issues, but, Steve, in pure football terms, that had to scare the hell out of the Bucks, that Instagram post. Unless in private conversations, Smith had talked to Arians. Maybe you talked to Joe Gilbert, his position coach, maybe his teammates, maybe not. But if it came out of nowhere, I don't think Bruce Arians has slept since Friday. And trying to figure out, look, we've all said that after quarterback, left tackle might be the most important position on offense. I think it is. And here you go. You know, Smith, I've called him middle of the pack, left tackle, middle of the pack. But reliable in terms of, you know, he's going to show up. He's not bad in pass protection. I don't think he's a very good run blocker or a persistent run blocker, but not bad in pass protection. You know, I think he's had 30 penalties in 5 years, all kinds of penalties, not just holdings. That's not horrible. You know, that's one every 2-3 games. Not horrible. And I think there's a huge drop-off in terms of body of work at left tackle. Steve, it's got to scare the hell out of out of Jason Light and Arians and maybe even the Glazers.
What about Brady?
And Brady.
Sage, I don't think Donovan Smith would have had a chat with the Bucks about him thinking of not playing. That's a good way to hurt your career. Probably, my guess, is what he put on Instagram was just a reactionary post. You know, that's the day and age. He was thinking about this, and he decided to type up his feelings. But I see it more as a middle ground, Ira. I mean, I get where Smith is coming from. I don't buy into the argument that he needs the money. The guy made $20 million already in his career. I mean, if he wants to sit out, if he never wants to play again, he should be, you know, able to live happily ever after, like most people could never imagine. But with Smith, though, I have no thoughts whatsoever that he's going to bail out on the season. I just think he's going to hold out, which might in some ways be worse for the Bucks, because if you hold out, you know, typically, I don't know what the new CBA says, but after researching it, I don't see any major changes in the holdout situation. If you hold out of camp, you miss, you can get fined up to $30,000 a day. So if he skips camp, if his baby's due the end of July, like he said, and the baby's born on time, and he wants to wait till the kid is born and wait to see if the Bucks end up with a rash of coronavirus outbreaks, and right. he wants to show up August 25th, so it costs him $600,000 out of $16 million. Big deal. So
you might be right, Stacey.
I think that's right about that. You know, if he's going to be smart and he only really cares about the money, and remember, he's the one who brought up the money. If he didn't bring up the money, we'd all be, just singing, "Oh, what a sympathetic character." But he screwed it up, like you said, by bringing up, I should get a pay raise instead of money held in escrow, when every other person out there working is either looking at a pay cut or, frozen wages or not much of an opportunity going in the immediate future because of the virus. But I think he's going to hold out, Ira, and just sort of sit out and wait and see. And then he puts the Bucks in a position of how much are they going to fine a guy who says, "I want to be there for my kid's birth and I don't want to give my wife or girlfriend a coronavirus before that, and I'm going to wait and see." It makes, in some ways, it makes the Bucks look bad if they fine him, a bunch of money per day to the maximum, because they would look insensitive in this climate.
Very, very interesting take, Steve. Very interesting. And I'll add to that, under that scenario, and Smith's no dummy. You don't graduate from Penn State and not know what the heck you're doing. Doesn't talk a lot in the locker room, but when he does, he's articulate, he's sharp. And Lee, following Steve's reasoning, and I think Steve's onto something, if he does show up August 25th, the way the roster's structured and whatever, the Bucks would be hard-pressed not to play him in week one.
It'd be nuts, yeah.
Yeah, it's a division game, it's a statement game. Here we are, we're the Bucks, the 2020 Bucks. We're going to be formidable this year. We're going into your building, the three-time NFC South champs, and we're going to kick your ass. And we're going to protect Tom Brady. With all due respect to Wells and Haig. By the way, Haig played very, very little left tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. He was very versatile. He played right guard and right tackle a lot, and even some left guard. But very, very little as a left tackle. Let's not say this guy is a veteran at left tackle. Wells, we know, has started 11 games in his career. And I'm totally dead set against moving Wirfs to the left side as a rookie. I think that's a disaster. I don't think they'll even consider that. So, Lee, if he shows up the 25th, and he gets a couple of practices in, I think the odds are in Smith's favor that he doesn't lose his starting job even in week one.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you, Ira. And by the way, you had a great column about this issue, and you made a very interesting point that I think people are overlooked. I remember when Wirfs was coming out of college, leading up to the draft, the only question was how he could handle speed rushers.
Right.
Even some of the best evaluators were saying they weren't really sure because he didn't face that at Iowa.
They didn't have it on tape. They didn't have it on tape.
So all of a sudden you're going to ask a guy with no offseason, zero offseason, to play left tackle on a team with Tom Brady, who's not exactly mobile, and he's 43 or will be 43. That's biting off more than you could chew, I think. That's really gambling. So you're absolutely right, Ira. Shoot, he could show up Labor Day weekend and roll in and start left tackle.
And, Steve, you've noticed, shortly before we did this podcast, Steve, some Buck fans were suggesting Jason Peters as a possible substitution for Smith, and he's already re-signed with the Eagles.
Jason Peters issue, although on paper sounds great, I don't know how the hell they're going to afford him. Who gets cut? I've been pushing for Jamal Adams since he said he wants to play for Todd Bowles. I'm not sold on a Buck safety. Maybe Steve will talk about that later. Both Steve and I have concerns about the secondary, but we're polar opposites on what we're concerned about. And I was pushing for Jamal Adams. Like, hey, sign him and maybe do some voodoo to get him under the cap somehow and keep him for, X amount of years. Peters is not a long-term answer. Adams would be. But that's another issue. And so I don't know how the heck they were going to afford. I mean, it's good talk radio stuff because talk radio is borderline fictitious. But in reality, Jason Peters, no way he's coming here without someone getting cut.
What's interesting about Peters is he only got, from what I saw today on Twitter,
$6 million?
$3 million, and it could be worth up to $6 million with incentives. And he's going to be playing guard. He's not going to be playing tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different angle. But he's gone, Ira. And one thing that is not gone is the incredible offers at Bill Curry Ford. 0% financing for 72 months. Again, 0% financing for 72 months. And Bill Curry Ford is giving an extra $1,000 off any new vehicle and any lease. In addition, they've got their used inventory, which on the used inventory, Ira, 90% of the vehicles, they give you a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned at Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, a big Jason Peters fan himself, he was lobbying for Peters to be signed and the Bucks to maybe go a different direction in the draft. That didn't work out, but the deals are still there, and Sean is still there at Bill Curry Ford to help you with all of your needs. Your buddy Ira, and I know you'll be on the phone with him to talk about this left tackle situation right after the podcast.
Steve, I think these deals are unprecedented. I don't know how long they're going to last, but each week on this podcast, you come up with new wrinkles to benefit the consumers that Sean Sullivan's offering and Bill Curry Ford right on Dale Mabry, a mile north of the stadium. 72 months financing. I mean, what more can they do, Steve? And I've been to the showroom 2-3 weeks ago. It's fantastic. They got the big storm set up for food and drinks, and I don't know what more they can do for people that are interested in a new or pre-owned vehicle.
Not much, Ira, and they've got fantastic service and a great body shop that I've used because you know how I drive, Ira. So BillCurryFord.com is where you want to start shopping. Bill Curry Ford. Sage, on the Donovan Smith topic, because there's a lot of layers to this, but one little interesting nugget is that ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, their longtime reporter, he surveyed a panel of 50 executives, players, and coaches across the NFL to determine the top 10 players at each position, in addition to some honorable mentions. And he quotes a lot of guys anonymously and lets you know if they're players or coaches or that sort of thing. So I, of course, looked at the list of tackles, offensive tackles in the NFL. Donovan Smith did not make the top 10, and of the 6 honorable mentions, he did not make the 6 honorable mentions, Ira.
Now you're talking about half the left tackles in the league.
Now, one thing that's interesting of that as well is you look at that list and the honorable mentions, and there are no Patriots there either. And we'll get a little bit more into that, but what do you think of that? Of Fowler's survey, do you believe those things are honest and good, and what do you think?
Well, I'm going to look at the second thing you said first in terms of the Patriots left tackles, and I think that's an important
point. This is all tackles, all tackles.
All tackles. But I think it's an important point when you look back at the left tackles that Tom Brady has had as his blindside protectors over two decades. Look, you're not going to find Walter Jones and Jonathan Ogden. You're not going to find it. There's been some good left tackles. There's been some left tackles that signed big contracts with other teams as free agents because it looked like they were very effective and efficient in the New England offense, and they've kind of flopped or been mediocre. So to that point, Lee, I think you could argue if Smith doesn't play, and I think it's unlikely, but if he doesn't, the Bucs don't have to get an elite left tackle. They got to get somebody that's adequate, that they can rely on a little bit, but the guy doesn't have to be great. At least that's what Brady has proven. As far as Smith's concerned, Lee, I've been very consistent about Donovan Smith. Whether you want to use the word nasty, physical, I think he's a little short. I think he's a little short in those qualities, durability off the charts, pass blocking, I would say adequate. I think he's a below-average offensive lineman in terms of the run game. I just do. He's got a reputation for not finishing his blocks. He's a little lazy at times. When you see some of these premier left tackles leading the way downfield, Lee knocking two or two guys off the ball. You don't see that from Donovan Smith. So I'm not shocked, Lee, with this survey. 16 names are mentioned. He's not in there. I called him middle ground. Okay, so he's from 16 to 20. I think he's a little bit overpaid in that respect. But, Lee, when the Bucks don't have alternatives behind them, you know, in March of 2019, what are they going to do? Let them hit the street? So Jason Light felt that we got to go with him. We got to give him a three-year extension. We got to make him one of the higher-paid left tackles in the NFL. And, Lee, we talk about it all the time on this podcast. When you make mistakes, free agency, draft, you don't leave yourself with too many options. You're boxed in, and I think that was the case with Donovan Smith in the spring of 2019.
Well, I do have to remember that when Donovan Smith was a rookie, the Bucks did have a 1,000-yard rusher. So it's not like he's a sieve as a run blocker. Whether that was Cutter's offense when he took over, whether that's Arian's offense, right. I'm not exactly sure. Here's the thing about Donovan Smith, and you've referenced it. The old Bill Parcells quote, your best ability is your availability. And this guy answers the bell. You don't have to worry about him. I mean, it's not like Jeremy Trueblood flipped over to left tackle. You pencil Donovan Smith in, he's going to be there. If he was terrible, as a lot of fans, I don't know if lot is the right word or term, but, you know, the loud crowd. If he was as bad as the loud crowd thinks he is, he wouldn't be on the Bucks roster, number one. But number two is availability. He answers the bell time after time after time. And I can't remember the NFL writer, but someone Twittered this guy and said, what is the biggest attribute an NFL coach looks at that's not talked about? And this guy replied, availability. They place a very high value on availability because, again, number one, you don't have to worry about it. Number two, you don't have to go get resources for that position.
That is his calling card. There's no question about it.
Ira, let me read you a quote. Donovan Smith is one of the more talented but frustrating left tackles in football because when he's good, he's really good, but he also has some lapses. That's Rondé Barber in March. And that sort of sums up Smith perfectly.
Guys, we've been very consistent on this podcast in terms of Rondé Barber. When Rondé Barber makes a statement about the players at one Buck place, he doesn't do it in a vacuum. Rondé Barber talks to people, whether it's assistant coaches, whether it's a general manager, whether it's a head coach. When Rondé Barber speaks about the Bucks, he knows what he's talking about, and he's reflecting the general concerns, whether it's positive or negative, of what's going on inside that building. So you take Rondé Barber very seriously.
Ira, is this similar to the way you, now I know you're not echoing the concerns, but is this similar to the way you have the Glazers on speed dial and are constantly harassing Brian and Joel? Can you talk about that, or is that going to remain confidential?
Well, I certainly don't have them on speed dial. I don't call, you know, whether it's Jason Light or Bruce Arians or the Glazers. I don't want to be a pest. I don't want to be a pest. But when something is critical, you know, it's a big, big story, I got to get to the bottom of it. And it's helped me in the past. We'll see about going forward. You know what I take out of it, though? I take pride that there's a degree of trust. And I think that's the key word in our business. If something's off the record, you honor it. Lee, you're very good about that. One of the reasons that you can call some people and get a return phone call. You lose that, you lose everything. You know, if I had some advice for young Zach, our great intern last year, or anybody that's thinking about getting in this business, Lee, that's my first rule. Never, never burn somebody because your sources will dry up quicker than you can imagine. One person talks to the next, says you can't trust this guy. It's not worth it, Lee. It's just not worth it. Your word's your bond in this business, and you better honor it.
It's a nice,
that's for sure.
It's
yeah.
a nice sentiment, Ira, and of course I agree with you in spirit. But there's a guy or two in this town who constantly burns bridges and does things that reveals things that he probably wasn't supposed to, or that we have learned that he wasn't supposed to, and doesn't slow him down. So I don't know. I'm a little cynical. Well, a little cynical.
Still think it hurts you in the long run.
They'll never be Sage.
I'm going to swear by that. I'm not going to deviate from it. It served me well over the years, gentlemen.
All right, speaking of trust, Ira, probably the most important thing to trust is who to trust with your home. And if you see water, if you have a leak, if you see any mold, you see a little bit in the garage, you look under the sink, and you've got that leaky garbage disposal that you already fixed, but you smell some mold, you see some, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration right away. Florida's Elite Restoration. They will come out to your home free, and assess everything. They are mold remediation specialists, licensed, insured, not just a mold guy or somebody else who does that. They specialize in it. In addition to disaster recovery assistance in your home for whatever you need, for whatever actually happens. They're a great local company, honest. They've been around a while. Josh Martin, 20 years in the business, the boss over there. He knows everything inside and out, and they're just honest. And there's a lot of crooks in the business. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website. Florida'sElitereStoration.com, just like it sounds. And you can call them 24/7. They're going to respond very quickly, and they'll come out. Ira, this is just the way to go. People cannot make the mistake of letting water linger, and then they have a problem, and then they call a plumber, and then next thing you know, they're on the phone with their insurance company, and they don't have an expert in there. Plumbers call Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira.
Mold can be a very serious issue if left unattended. Time is of the essence. You should not hesitate. Otherwise, you're looking at a major repair. Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll give you a free look with honesty about the extent of the problem, and you got to get it taken care of right away. Time is absolutely essential. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com.
Ira, when we were talking earlier, just quickly about Donovan Smith, it reminded me of Antonio Bryant's famous quote in 2009 when they slapped the franchise tag on him, and he said, "How am I going to feed my family?" And he was making $9 million a year. So,
yeah. You know, when I think of Antonio Bryant, I don't know why this thing sticks in my mind. It's 11 years ago, but, you know, I was on that trip going to Charlotte, and the Bucks were 9-3, and this was a big, big showdown in the division. And, you know, the Bucks were on a roll at that time. We didn't know it was going to be Gruden's last year. That game in Carolina, which was the first of the four-game clutch, and Carolina just ran up and down the field. Up and down the field against a
Monday night game, right?
A pretty darn good Buck defense, yes, Lee. And Antonio Bryant was sensational.
That's when he had that diving one-handed catch at the end
zone. He did. He's one of the few Bucks that showed up big time in that game, and I'm always going to remember that. And I think he used that as a springboard to get another contract from the Bucks. And then you didn't hear much from him, and 09 was a total disaster for everybody concerned.
It was, Sage. It was. All right, now listen, Ira. Let me get back to Donovan Smith here, because Max Starks, who played left tackle for Bruce Arians in Pittsburgh, and then also Arians recruited him to come to Arizona, but he was a little too old, and he just retired before training camp even started. But Starks knows him well, and he's a regular on SiriusXM NFL radio. And he was talking about how the Bucs should go right out, and he would look at Kelvin Beachum, the Jets' left tackle, who Todd Bowles and friends re-signed to a big contract, and he was there for a few years. He's a free agent right now. Not a guy you could get for rock bottom money, but it was Starks' opinion that, while Donovan Smith could walk in with 2 weeks to go before the season and be just fine, that the Bucks shouldn't mess around, and he is not really interested in moving Tristan Wirfs either. I don't know. Do you think the Bucks, their level of nervousness, or maybe even thinking that, if Smith doesn't have training camp, maybe he's more likely to get injured, will the seriousness of the left tackle position maybe drive a guy like Jason Light or Bruce Arians to say, let me sign this Beachum guy. I know him. I've got some knowledge of him. Max Stark says somehow Kelvin Beachum knows Bruce Arians. I don't know. What do you think?
Steve, my first reaction is if Beachum's lasted this long since the start of free agency, which is, I believe, 4 months ago, then I think the Bucks can wait another couple of weeks, see if Smith shows up. Have a discussion with Smith, try to clarify the situation with his concerns. if you still have serious doubts whether he's going to be available for week one, maybe you take a look at Beecham. I don't see a reason why you got to rush it. Nobody's jumping on Beecham. He's still out there for, you know, and just in general, any free agents from March that are still out there, there's some kind of a problem. It's either they're asking for too much money. I mean, you, Devonta Freeman. Or they're kind of, in the eyes of personnel guys, they're washed up or too old. So, Steve, my reaction is the Bucks. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you got to think. You got to think Arians and Gilbert, Marpet, you know, they got to be talking to Donovan Smith at this point. I mean, you can make a phone call. You can get on a Zoom call and not imperil Donovan Smith's health. And you got to think they're trying to figure out exactly what's on his mind and get a better grasp than just an Instagram post. I think in 2 or 3 weeks, especially when Arians talks to the media on reporting day, and let's hope he does. And if he doesn't, we're going to rip the Bucks communication staff a new one, but I assume he will. We'll see what he's got to say about Donovan Smith at that time. Steve, I wouldn't overreact right now in terms of a Beecham. I want to know more about what's driving Donovan Smith.
You think Brady may have called up? So what the hell are you doing?
Possibly. Possibly Brady. I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, his hands are everywhere. Brady's hands are everywhere.
Well, I can't say that, but I can tell you that Brady's gung-ho to play.
I don't think Brady's got a strong relationship with Donovan Smith at this point. They've never taken a snap together.
I don't mean to incriminate him or be condescending in any way. Has he been part of any of Brady's workouts? I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
That's another good point, too. So I really don't know. I really don't know if they have any relationship at all, but Steve, having said that, it wouldn't shock me if Tom Brady made a phone call. You know, he wants to know everything that's going on in this organization. He's having fun again. That fun might be tempered a little bit if Donovan Smith is serious about not playing in 2020.
Well, it's a good point about Brady calling Ira, but I have to look at it in a different way. Brady is a very shrewd team builder, leadership kind of guy. If he's a smart guy, he calls Donovan Smith and he says, Donovan, whatever you got to do, you take care of your family. If you got to sit,
I'll support you.
If you got to sit out, that's fine. I got your back. Because the bottom line is, if he sits out, Brady doesn't give a crap. They'll get a new guy in there. If Smith is going to, you know, miss a couple of weeks and come in, Brady needs him, needs his buy-in, needs his support, needs to fire him up so he can't lose. He's going to be the good guy no matter what.
That's leadership, baby. 101.
All right, Ira. Now, let me turn your attention to the guard position, the interior offensive lineman. And before I hit you with the top 10 list there, I want to go to Ryan Jensen, who is not on this top 10 list of surveyed executives, players, and coaches. But Ryan Jensen did make number one overall when it came to eating chicken wings at this offensive line mastermind event in Texas, where all these offensive linemen gather annually and they learn from some of the great offensive linemen and they bond. So this video surfaces of Ryan Jensen. He's at this event where there's like maybe 15 guys in the video. Nobody's social distancing. They're all kind of rooting him on, and he's winning this hot chicken wing contest against some other guy. And that video circulated. What do you think of that when you see it? Are you in this political mindset, Ira? You as a Bucks supporter, as an NFL reporter and analyst, when you see that, do you think he made a mistake? Do you think he regrets it? Do you think he's excited that he won, and this is just players bonding, men doing men things? Where do you look at that, Ira?
How the hell is eating all those chicken wings going to help him block Sheldon Rankin's leak?
I could say that, but this is a family podcast, so I'll
how's that going to help him?
Keyword pass.
You know, if they were wearing bathing suits, it would remind me of all those people at Lake of the Ozarks a couple of weeks ago that people were appalled about. Hanging out in on the boats and the pontoon boats and in the lake and no social distancing. I'm not impressed, guys, with the chicken wings. I'm not impressed with the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. That's just me. I eat a couple of dogs. I'm happy. Joey Chestnut wants to eat 75. God bless him.
Steve, are you going to pick your king route and you want the FCC to ban that?
Steve, I don't think it's anything to be proud of. He's a grown man, though. He makes his own decisions. You know, you can brand me one of these flaming liberals if you want, Steve. But this thing isn't anything to fool around with. And, you know, one thing that Lee left out when he was going over Donovan Smith's health concerns, we're learning new things every day about this thing. And one of the things we might be learning, you know, there's still a couple of big questions out there. Like, suppose you had it, you're asymptomatic, and you got over it. Can you get it again? There's a lot of divisive thought about this stuff. And here's another one. If you're 21 years old and you had it and you were asymptomatic, there's some evidence that with some people, even young ones, there can be residual effects. Maybe you got, you know, your lung is scarred a little bit and it doesn't show up right now. There's so much we don't know about. I'm not ready to raise the banner for a chicken wing contest, Steve. I'm unimpressed. I don't want to hear about it. And if I'm a Buck fan, I want a guy trying to take care of himself and getting in shape. I can't imagine Bruce Arians is absolutely thrilled with it. And one more point. The fact that Ryan Jensen is not mentioned among the top 10, and you didn't say if he was honorable mention. Was he honorable mention, Stephen?
He's not honorable mention, no.
That's a problem. That's a problem. I don't know who this guy talked to. I'm not saying they're gospel, but the guy's one of the highest paid centers. When he was signed, he was the highest paid center. What the heck's going on with this offensive line, gentlemen? I've been ripping them to shreds for the last 4 years. You guys have both been, especially Lee, defending them, saying that they're above average and they don't deserve to be whipped over here. And here you got a left tackle, you got a center. Certainly Alex Kappa is not going to make the top 16. You got a rookie at right tackle, and I don't know. I hope Marpet made the top 10. I hope.
Now that you mention it, Ira, Marpet.
He did.
He was in an honorable mention in there. It was not in the top 10. The one comment that was printed was that Marpet is not the greatest athletic talent, but you know is tough and makes the most of it kind of thing. But so he was honorable mention. Interestingly, Joe Thuney, the Patriots guard, he was number 5 overall.
Steve, what you're saying is, again, without knowing who this guy talked to and how many people completed the survey,
50. 50 people.
What you're saying is none of the Bucs' starting offensive linemen, and that's with Donovan Smith at left tackle, in the Superdome in week one, according to this survey, is a top 10 player in this league. And I think that's very disconcerting, gentlemen. Can't they have one or two? Give me one.
It's hard for me to go off on the offensive line when, number one, you've got trash in the backfield. I'm sorry. People at One Buck Place don't get upset with me saying it. Well, then prove me wrong. You got trash in the backfield. Number two, you had the NFL's leading passer. Oh, yeah, he had 30 picks. He also led the league in passing. So how bad could it have been?
Didn't you guys post something in the last week where somebody labeled the Buck backfield the worst in the NFL? Am I wrong on that?
There was some fantasy guy. He didn't have any Bucks running back in his top 40 fantasy running backs.
Ira, it doesn't take Socrates to determine the Buccaneers' backfield isn't strong. But an offensive line is a collective group, and a survey is a survey. The Bucs, number 3 offense last year. The year before, number 3 in yards in the league. You can't have a bad offensive line and accomplish those facts. That's just reality. And there are very few interceptions that you can blame on the offensive line. So I just can't knock them too bad. And I think Tom Brady will make them better. I think there's a good chance a running game will be better this year, and I think Tristan Wirfs will make him better. So I'm not down on it. It's just interesting to look at a little bit deeper. And I thought the irony of Ryan Jensen not social in it, being in this non-social distancing environment almost at the same time that Donovan Smith is screaming about I might get coronavirus, and meanwhile Ryan Jensen is the guy who shows up to every Tom Brady workout.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to compound the irony, last year I listened to Ali Marpet do an interview where he talked about how he basically doesn't eat meat anymore because it gives him too much inflammation. And at the same time, every other day, Ryan Jensen is twittering out his latest brisket and his you know and all the things he likes to barbecue. So and that's what a team is all about, different guys coming together. But there's a little Buccaneers comedy involved there, Sage.
Everybody's got a different personality and a different reaction to this pandemic. And, you know, as long as it's grown people making a decision, but they got to understand that the decisions have ramifications. And if they're not worried about themselves in particular being infected, they do come in contact with other people. So you got to keep that in mind.
Real quick, two things real quick about Jensen related. If Steve or I thought the offensive line was bad, trust us, we would write about it. Trust us. So if I see it, I'm going to write about it. And Steve's the same way. That's one. Number two, with Jensen, this offensive line or center summit he was at, that was just one little video. That was just one little video we saw of him munching chicklets. One little video. I saw two or three different videos, one of which is like 3 minutes long, where he's going one-on-one with Brian Baldinger, explaining how he his assignments against the number one technique, nose tackle. These guys were all wearing their Antifa masks, and they were all trying to social distance. And, in fact, everyone who was in that room got a nasal swab test for the corona. So that what we were watching, that chicken wiki, that was one little video. You know, not too many people saw the Instagram video of Baldinger, and not too many people saw the other videos, but they saw the chicken wing eating video. That was just one small snippet of what was going on there. So I'm not wringing my hands like some people are, like, oh, social distancing. And I like what Steve said. Here's Brent Jensen, you know, we're led to believe by some people that Tom Brady and all those guys at Berkeley Prep are going to lead the death. But there's Ryan Jensen every day, and to the best of my knowledge, he's not sick.
Yeah,
good perspective, Lee.
There's
good
a lot of, yeah, excellent perspective. There were a lot of pictures that came out as well from that O-line summit. You know, a mix of guys wearing masks and spread out, and a mix of guys sort of huddled off, broken up into little groups, having discussions right next to each other, no masks. I don't really care either way as it relates to the Buccaneers and football. I had heard there was some testing. I don't know if they got the results, whatever. The point is that all these guys, 90 of them, if they arrive at one Buck place, and allegedly they're not going to quarantine these players, they're going to not keep them in a hotel, they're probably going to let them go home. You know, who knows? Who knows how that's going to shake out, Ira? It's going to be one hell of a wacky season across the league. I wanted to ask you this, though, for your Sage perspective, Ira, because I think this is important, as a lot of fans think there's going to be no football. Or they think, I don't know what they think, but it's been hot as hell. What kind of beer are you drinking these days? Are you going with the Bromosa from Big Storm Brewing Company? Or are you sticking with your favorite Tropic Pressure Florida Ale? What are you doing? What kind of Big Storm beer are you drinking these days?
Well, I thought I was firmly on the Tropic Pressure side because it's so refreshing in this heat. And then, you kind of turned me on to the Bromosa. And now I'm torn. I don't know. I mean, I might be open to trying another one because every time you tell me to try something, one's, as good as the next one. They got a big, selection, craft beers. Right now, the Bromosa has nudged itself firmly ahead of Tropic Pressure in my book.
Well, Ira, what's even better news for you and for fans looking to save some money, at Big Storm Brewing Company, at their tap rooms, the beautiful big location with outdoor seating, in Clearwater and the Odessa Tap Room as well, right off State Road 54 on Success Drive. Taco Tuesday, $2 chicken or pork tacos, $3 fish and shrimp tacos. Wednesday, $5 off their fantastic burgers. That's a big discount right there. Thursday, $10 beer and pretzel special, and it's a home-cooked fantastic special with the sauces and all that. And half-off appetizers Monday through Thursday after 8 p.m., at Big Storm Brewing Company, but they are all about the beer, Ira. Get to BigStormBrewery.com, their website, or JoeBucksFan.com. You can click on the Storm Tracker and find out where to purchase Big Storm beer near you and get that Bromosa. It is where it's at this summer.
Taco Tuesday sounds very appetizing, Steve. With a beer to wash it now, I'm in, baby.
We know how you you like to romance your lady. Nothing says pork taco more than that, Ira.
I'm gonna check that out pronto, my friend.
Bottom line is, Ira, Major League Baseball starts next week. Next week. Real games. And the NBA starts right after that. And that's, what do you think the mindset of the country, the mindset of Bucks fans, mindset of the NFL and players is going to be when they actually get to turn on the television and they see baseball games that look normal and basketball games? And do you think that's going to change everything?
Well, I think the NFL's on an advantage in a timing standpoint. They get to see how these other sports start up, the protocols in place, do they work? Is there an outbreak? Do any leagues have to stop? I think that's an advantage for Goodell and his group. I think when the sports start up again, and you're right, Steve, baseball's right on the horizon, I think it's really going to whet the appetite for Buck fans. Talked constantly since mid-March about the expectations for this team, the enthusiasm about it. It's kind of been dormant, you know, suppressed for a few months. There's no, you know, OTA tape that we can look at on Buccaneers.com to get excited about. And as training camp approaches, amid all these sports starting up, I think it's really going to ramp up the anticipation for the 2020 Buck season. I know there's a little trepidation about whether this season can be completed on time with the Super Bowl in Tampa, but I think the NFL has every intention of playing this season as scheduled. Nobody cares about the preseason. September 10th, this league's supposed to kick off. I don't see any reason it's not going to kick off. But you're right, Steve. It's a funny, funky time right now. In between, we've been stuck in between, but it's gonna get real, Lee, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where almost every other sport, with the exception of college football, I just don't care. I'm locked in on football. Maybe that's my passion for the Bucks, my passion for Joe Bucks fan. That I'm sure that has something to do with it. I mean, I used to own season tickets to the Lightning. And I like hockey, but you know what? It's off my radar now. NBA hasn't been on my radar for maybe 30 years. Baseball's off my radar now because the stat geeks have hijacked the sport. It makes me want to throw up. So there's only two sports really that are absolutely on my radar. Three, I guess, and two of those are NFL and college football. So I can't speak about baseball. You know, to me, I don't know. It's July. Whatever. Let's go.
and we're supposed to find out later this week about what the plans are for Raymond James Stadium. I don't even think it's a question. The Bucks have every intention of having a certain percentage of fans in the stadium starting with week two against Carolina. They don't want to play in front of an empty stadium. If other teams aren't doing it, the Bucks aren't going to do it. The question is, what are the protocols? What percentage of fans will be allowed in? And how will it go, you know, the first couple of weeks of the NFL season? But the moment of truth's almost at hand.
Ira, here's something for you. David Carr, I know, not exactly Joe Montana.
That guy says a lot of stupid things.
I want your feedback on this. If it is that or if it's something else. He was on NFL Total Access last night, seen and enjoyed on NFL Network. He said there's social distancing at stadiums where it's anywhere from 15 to 20% whatever of seats will have fans in it. He said, and while he's saying this, by the way, Brian Billick is nodding his head up and down in agreement. David Carr said this is a dream for offenses because basically you're going to have, it's going to be like a practice. A quarterback's going to be able to hear the defensive calls. A quarterback is easily going to be able to get his play calls out with everyone understanding it. There will be no silent counts. And he said coaches will even audible from the sidelines as the guys are lining up with the line of scrimmage and making adjustments. He said this is a dream for offenses. He said this, you're going to see record-breaking offenses as a result. And I got to think, well, wait a minute. The Bucks potentially, I'm not saying they will, the Bucks potentially could have five new starters. They certainly have a new starting quarterback. They'll certainly have a new starting tight end. They'll certainly have a new starting right tackle. And there's been no offseason whatsoever, unless you call practicing at Berkeley Prep with a handful of guys an offseason. I don't. So if what David Carr is saying, you know, this silence will help everything, will that help the Bucs out in the sense that, you know, they missed this offseason, they're going to be behind the eight ball? Will that help smooth things out a little bit? Because Brady will be able to command, be more of a field commander, so to speak, than he would be previously. Because everybody can hear him, and he can make adjustments. He can adjust to the defensive calls.
Leah, I'll say this. Everybody at one Buck place, from the top, the very, very top, on down, firmly believe that this offense could be a record-breaking offense. Record-breaking. Perhaps to rival the 99, 2000, 2001 Rams. I mean, I'm serious.
You mean the 2001 Rams with a Hall of Fame running back?
I understand that. See, I understand that.
And this is without the offseason they're factoring this in.
But, you know, suppose Gronkowski is effective. I mean, suppose he's motivated.
Well, I'm sure they didn't sign him to be ineffective.
So if you add him to Godwin, there aren't any questions about Godwin and Evans. I mean, zero. Zero. Yeah. Absolutely zero. They stay healthy. They're the best tandem in the NFL. And there's a big gap, I think, to the next team. And you got Tom Brady. So they think, you know, if they played in a cavern, that this team could move the ball in a phone booth. And so maybe the, you know, the lack of fans can help in that regard. I don't think Brady needs much help. I think after a full training camp, the audible system Brady would be very comfortable with. But, you know, to Lee's point, all right, let's say there's 18,000 people in the building instead of 62. Yeah, that's going to help, especially in the Superdome, one of the noisier venues in the league, if not the noisiest, when the Saints fans get going. Yeah, that'll help. But the Bucs haven't had a problem, guys. Winning on the road, scoring points on the road, has not been an issue. The problem is in their own damn stadium. So, you know, and that's a conundrum that the three of us have been trying to wrestle with for a decade. Well, I mean, this thing goes back 10 years.
Before you go too far with this, I wanted to throw this out there. Rob Gronkowski was on a Army Air Force Exchange web show that I happen to watch, and he brought this up, but on two different levels. First, he said very much what David Carr said, in that he was asked about having next to no fans in attendance. He said the similar things that David Carr just said, that Lee laid out very nicely. But he also said he hopes that the NFL pumps in crowd noise, because that's part of the game. And he said you gain a lot of juice, or at least he does personally, from the crowd. He feeds off the crowd, and there are a lot of players who feed off the crowd. And he talked about how he's going to have to find a different way to get some energy. And, you know, it is reality, you know. Gronk catches a 3rd-and-7 ball, gets a first down, the crowd goes nuts. You know, that jacks up the offense. If there are no fans there, or 10,000 fans, you're not going to hear the same level of stuff. But I wonder, Ira, do you think the NFL, for the sake of television, for the sake of home field advantage, and for the sake of making things a little more normal, you think they're going to allow teams to pump in crowd noise?
What is this, Vince McMahon and the XFL? Come on over there, Isbits.
Well, the Falcons did it, and nobody even said they could.
It's a gimmick. It's artificial. I mean, what's next? Placards to at all the empty seats to make believe that there were fans there?
Ira, Kansas City is doing just that with Royals games. Season ticket holders for $45.
Shame.
Well, let me finish. For $45, the team will make a life-size placard of your image and place it in your seat. I'm not making this up. Also, when the NFL first talked about social distancing or playing in empty stadiums, Joe Buck, I can't remember who he did it with, but he did an interview almost right after that was announced that they might have to play in empty stadiums. Joe Buck said that he's really confident in that. Fox executives have talked about piping in fake crowd noise on their TV broadcast. Now, me personally, I would love to hear the silence because I'd love to hear the chatter on the field and on the sidelines, what's going on. Of course, a TV executive, that's the last thing he wants because they'll lose their freaking license. All the cussing and hollering.
But you know, I wasn't going to say this, gentlemen, but we reached a point in the podcast where full disclosure takes priority.
Is this where you is this where you take shots at Roy Cummings?
The Bucks just told me last week that for $75 I could have a placard of me with drinking Tropic Pressure and eating a Cuban. $75. So
not bad.
I might have to take them up on that, Steve.
All right, Ira. Now I wanted to run this past you because it's a little bit unique and it's old. It's late in the podcast and we can put this to bed, but it needs another thing that needs your wisdom. Now, I was talking with a young Zach, the Man Beast intern, a man who wrote a thesis on Ira Kaufman for the University of Florida, which is
and he got an A. He got an A, by the way. He did.
It's hard to believe he got more than six paragraphs out of you, but somehow, some way, he did it. And I had Zach go out and sniff for some players last week. One guy he ran into working out in Tampa was Kevin Pamphile. And Pamphile's got no team. He just spent the last couple of years with the Titans. He's coming back from an injury, currently a free agent. Nice guy. Anyway, I said to Zach, I said, could you just ask him, just to sort of, now that Dirk Cutter's gone and it shouldn't matter, could you just ask the guy why the hell they rotated him and Evan Smith at guard when no team in the NFL does that? Everybody talks about continuity, yet the Bucks pissed all over that. And at the same time, seemed to acknowledge continuity, and Cutter would never answer the question, and I had asked Pamphile a couple of times. He wouldn't really give a straight answer years ago. So Zach asks him, and Pamphile says, I never got a straight answer. We never got a straight answer. For some reason, the front office, specifically said the front office, and the coaches wanted to do that, and Evan Smith was pissed about it. I was pissed about it, and he specifically mentioned that Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet were frustrated about it because they couldn't get into the right communication rhythm all the time, not knowing who was next to you and, you know, obviously pulling guards and things like this. Pamphile specifically said that whenever he or Evan got comfortable or in a rhythm, it almost felt like they were getting yanked out of the game for their mandatory rotation. How does a coaching staff not communicate something so strange and the reason for it to mature players? And what does that tell you about the Dirk Cutter regime?
You know, guys, it seems like a month can't go by without us hearing another story about the incompetence of Dirk Cutter's coaching staff. They did not serve him well, and ultimately, I don't have a lot of sympathy because he picked them. He chose them, and he made a lot of mistakes in doing so. Evan Smith and Pamphile, well, you're not choosing between John Hanna and the other great guards in the league over here. We understand that. But Pamphile's still trying to get signed. DeMar Dotson's out there. He's still trying to get signed. Guys, you know, the stories, the defensive coordinator situation, horrible. I don't know what to say about this Pamphile. We didn't understand it at the time. And now there apparently is nothing to understand. It was a crazy decision. It hurt continuity, no question about it. And I'm absolutely baffled at what was going on during the Cutter regime.
All right, Iris, send us out of here on your great wisdom for Buccaneers fans as we sit 2 weeks from training camp, assuming everything kicks off.
All right, I got a little story, of course, as I always do. About an hour or two before this podcast, I went into a Quest Diagnostics. No, I did not get a COVID-19 test. I got a blood test, and I am proud to say that I filled up six vials. Six, gentlemen. Lipid profile, PSA. Take it easy, Cosmos. See? I said something about blood, and Cosmos going crazy. It's all in anticipation of next week's stress test. Oh, I'm going to have a story for you boys next week. My annual stress test on the treadmill, gentlemen. How long can the sage last once they crank up that treadmill? My record's about 11 minutes. We shall see. The Kemper, you'd last about 90 seconds. Isbits, you're perhaps in the 5 or 6 minute range. Of course, I am in tip-top shape. but today, I had 6 vials of blood drawn from me, so my energy level might be a tad depressed, but I will be back in fine fiddle for our next podcast later this week, and we shall see. And by the way, other people come in, and you know, these people spend 10 minutes trying to find a vein. The woman said, boy, your veins are in fine shape. So everything's working for the Sage right now, everything.
And this is how you inspire Buccaneers fans for the rest of the week, Ira. Unbelievable.